Welcome to episode 63 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. This past weekend saw me take a trip to one of my old haunts. Farnham in Surrey is where I studied for my degree in photography many years ago. Now, it was a social trip, first and foremost, but it did give me the chance to bring you up to date with a number of developments behind the scenes, as well as let you know about the forthcoming Focus on Imaging event and an item of kit which I'm currently testing. It's just a short introduction this week, so welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 63. It's just after 11:30 on a beautifully sunny Sunday morning, and I am stood in the middle of a park, and this park is in Farnham in Surrey here in the UK. And the reason I'm here is because I'm just wasting a bit of time, passing a bit of time, whilst my other half and her mum are at a craft show called Unravel, which, if you're into your knitting and vintage designs and all that sort of thing, and contemporary designs, it has to be said, you will know exactly what that is. I will link to it in the show notes, just in case you do wish to have a little investigation. But I have got a few minutes to myself, just to gather my thoughts and, bring you guys up to date on a number of things which I really am quite excited about and I want you to be aware of. Now, I have to say, this is my second attempt at the impromptu recording this morning. I found a lovely bench here with trees behind and a lovely view across Farnham itself, and it turns out that I picked like the most popular route for dog walkers, and I had so much so many encounters with these dogs and their owners taking an interest that I had to sort of keep stopping, and it was just breaking up the flow of what I was trying to say. So let's try again. The first thing that I want to talk about, let's talk about actually Farnham itself, just to give you a bit of background. The reason that I have something of a, I suppose, more of a personal connection with Farnham is that many years ago, I actually studied in Farnham. Now, as a lot of you regular listeners will know, I first became aware of cameras when I was about 8 years old, something like that. And so I had by the time I came to university age, I had photography as a hobby for many years. And so I was very good with the technical understanding and what have you. So the degree that I actually did was not so much how to take pictures. It was how we look at pictures, how we understand them, how they affect things, how things affect their meaning, all this sort of thing. It got quite heavy at in places. But when I was in Farnham, I was at a university called the Surrey Institute of Art and Design, which has since changed, and it is now known as the University for the Creative Arts. I don't know much about the new establishment, as it were, but I imagine it's pretty much the same. Anyway, that's in Farnham. But the park where I am, I used to come here quite a bit when I was living in Farnham, and it's actually the park is something like 130 hectares of open countryside, and it was the Bishop of Winchester who had Farnham Castle as one of his residencies. He actually created the park in 1376, which he used for deer and game. I assume he hunted them as well as looking at them. So there you go, a little bit of background. Farnham is an old town, so as I say, for me, I like old places, there's a personal connection. But one of the things that really, it just occurred to me as I was walking up into the park, the first thing that I want to talk about is the Active Photographer website. Now, we all know that photography, or the technology of photography, but technology in general has, I mean, every year it jumps forward. It just reminded me how far I've come as a photographer and other areas of my life since even doing my degree. But the point is, the Active Photographer website, very exciting. If you haven't gone on to the Active Photographer website recently, because a lot of you either receive this podcast as an RSS feed, or you just download it straight from iTunes, which is all great, do have a look at the website, because it looks completely different to how you might have seen it in the past. A lot of you will know that I've spent a lot of time recently working behind the scenes, trying to get the site more as I want it and what have you. And it is just so completely different now. So to give you an idea, and I will do this from the comfort of a bench, there appear to be no dogs on this on this route. I think I might be quite safe. Bit of a aeroplane going overhead. Quite close to Farnham is Farnborough, and there's an airport at Farnborough. So we are sort of in a flight path. But yes, the Active Photographer website. It used to be, when you went to the website, that you would click on theactivephotographer.com, and what you would have, let's just take my bag off here, what you'd have was the main page with a series of links along the top and a series of links down the side, all the social media stuff, Twitter and Facebook and what have you, and then whatever was the most recent story, you had that at the top, and then the last, I don't know, six or... Oh, I should just apologise if you can hear shouting in the background. There's actually a football match being played. The park is also used for that sort of thing. Yeah, so you would have the main, the latest story, and then the previous six or so before that, which was fine, but the issue that I always had was that, say I did a test and review article, and it was quite long-winded, or there was, say, a behind-the-scenes of a shoot-type article which had lighting diagrams and behind-the-scenes pictures and possibly a little video in there or whatever, that article would be of such a length that it took up a huge amount of space on the front page of the Active Photographer website, and I didn't want that to be the case now. So what you'll find is you go onto theactivephotographer.com, and that essentially, for intents and purposes, is a landing page. Along the top, you've got several links, and I will be adding one or two in the fullness of time. I've got some other things that I need to put in place. I just haven't got the time to do it just at this moment. But you've got, obviously, a button for the main homepage. You've got an About page, gives you an idea of what the Active Photographer is all about. Test and review. You've got the Active Photographer Jolly, photography trips that you know that I've been talking about recently. And there's also a Get in Touch page, and that has actually got a form on there for you to just put your name, email address, and your message, and you can get in touch that way and come straight through to me. As I said, in the past, on no matter whether you're on theactivephotographer.com or one of the specific pages, so activephotographer.com/, I don't know, this test review article, you know, for example, you would always have the social media links all down the side and what have you. Now, when you click on the main homepage, you have just a series of 12, the most recent articles that I've written, the most recent things that have been posted. And those take the form now of a photograph, a little bit of writing, just literally just a paragraph or two. And then if it's a podcast, there's also a play button, so you can play the podcast straight from there. Or if not, it'll have something that says continue reading, something to that effect. When you click on there, it opens up the whole of the article on a new page. So you're not having to wade your way through loads and loads of, you know, sort of scrolling all down the screen to get through loads of articles to get to what you want. You can go onto the homepage and it's all laid out in front of you. So on my screen, which is a 24-inch widescreen, I believe, it displays, I think, one, two, three, I think it's four or five columns. And this essentially follows a kind of a magazine style template, as opposed to a traditional blog template. But it's not in the way that you not as you would necessarily think a magazine format site to look. If you've got a smaller screen, of course, then it will condense that down to be, for example, sort of three columns, but it will stack the articles up below, you know, as you scroll down. The other clever thing is that with this site now, if you're on iPhone or you've got an iPod, like an iPod Touch or what have you, it actually shapes itself to the user's interface. So for example, if I refresh the page and it's on my widescreen, I can see that it immediately adjusts itself to tell it that it's a widescreen format and what to display. It's all really clever. But the main thing I wanted with the site was to just keep it really... I wanted it to be more visual, more interesting for viewers, anyone that's looking at it. And the homepage is like a landing page now. So you've got the 12 most recent articles. Then when you click on through, then you can see the social media links and all the rest of it. I should also say, when you click on any of the links along the top, the home, about, jolly, what have you, that works in the same way. You get all the social media links and the sort of sidebar links, which are to other sites and recent posts and what have you. So really, really excited to finally announce that. If you've listened in the last couple of weeks, you will know, I think it was last week, I had planned to tell you about this last week, but one thing or another, it didn't happen. So in the event, we ended up, I gave you an interview with one of the chaps from Manfrotto. And that's been well received from what you've told me. So that's really good. So there you go. Finally, I can tell you about the Active Photographer website. A bit more to it than that. There's other stuff I've got to put on there, bits of development. But please let me know your thoughts. If there's something you think could be improved, something that you really like, something that you're not so keen on. I don't take it personally. It's all development. I just want it to be, you know, I want the site to do obviously what I want it to do. But equally, I'm listening a lot to you guys to hear your feedback, because essentially it's for you. You're the people that, you know, take on all this information and read articles and listen to podcasts and what have you. So I'll leave it at that. The second thing to think about. Oh yes, I've got a number of shoots lined up that I want to do locally. And when I say locally, I mean sort of in the Portsmouth, Hampshire area. I've got a number of sites lined up for these shoots, a number of locations, and I need your help. One of the most recent things, I've got the locations set, I've got a number of people that I could turn to, but it's a kind of a disused facility. Working in conjunction with the people that are actually refurbishing this place, bringing it back. But what I want to do is to get some BMX riders. Now, if this is you, and I have to kind of stress this, I only need the best people to do this. It has to be, if you think this is you, you have to be a really skilled rider, because we're talking about doing jumps and flips and grinding on rails and all this sort of thing. So, you know, in the nicest not wishing to offend anyone, but if you just like riding your BMX on a Sunday afternoon and you like jumping off some steps, that's not really who I'm looking for. I'm looking for someone that's either sponsored or a professional, or even if you're not sponsored or professional, just very, very talented, I'd like to speak to you. So that is coming up in a couple of weeks' time. I've still got time to plan things, get people in place and what have you. As I say, the location is sorted. We've set a pretty much set a date. I'm still not releasing that to you guys yet because I just need to be sure of who's involved. I've only got space for two or three riders, but if you are in the Portsmouth area in Hampshire, or even if you're sort of in, you know, not too far away and you fancy sort of coming down, say if you're up in Surrey, it's really easy route on the train or what have you, or if you're driving, if you're on a BMX and you're really good on a BMX and you fancy being in some pictures, and you'll get to use the pictures on, you know, on Facebook and what have you, show your mates how good you are, let me know, okay? Because I really need your help, and it's going to be fantastic. It's almost like a dream location, you know. Sometimes as a photographer, you find these places, and it all just looks so good. And yeah, it's going to be fantastic. But I just want to hear from you, because there's a number of people that I did had all lined up to do this, and it turns out that they're actually really, really good, and I've seen like videos of them and on YouTube and stuff. They're really good on ramps and in like skate park and BMX parks. I mean, out of this world, amazing. But they're just no good by their own admission. They're not really straight street riders, you know. So I'll say no more about that. But if that appeals, if that's you, then let me know. So I've only got a number of places available to do it, so it's first come, first serve. And if you can send me a link to a video on, if you've got a YouTube channel or some pictures of you doing your thing, that's really cool, because I need to move this along and get everything sorted and in place. There's a lot of organization to sort out. The next thing, just as an aside, a lot of you guys like to know what I'm testing at the moment, and there's often too much to kind of give you a whole list of stuff. But one of the things I have got here is a Lowepro rucksack. And this thing here is the Photosport 200 AW. And the AW stands for all weather. It means it's got a pull-out cover. It comes out from the bottom and sort of comes up over the front of the bag. And it is a really nice nice little bag. I think it's around about 25 or 23 liters, something like that. So it's not huge, but then that's not a bad thing. But I was really excited to try this out, because one of my issues with going out, if I'm sort of hiking or what have you, is, and if you've seen videos or you know, been on the site and seen my stuff, you will have heard me, seen me speak about this before. In the past, I've always thought, right, I want to take my DSLR, one lens, maybe a flash gun, and a small tripod, or even just a tabletop tripod, you know, something that is just enough to rate, you know, hold the camera steady in position, or a super clamp or something like that. But there hasn't been a bag that fulfills that need. There has been bigger bags, and there are hundreds on the market. I've always used Lowepro. I've used their stuff for, well, I think the first photography camera, like typical camera bag I got, well, the first one was something from Argos, which was 25 quid, and it was when I was just starting out, and my grandparents bought it for me, and I've still got it. I'll never get rid of it. But it was very basic. When I upgraded and I was starting to get more serious, I got a Lowepro compact AW, I think it was, which was a kind of over the shoulder type design. Then I bought a Lowepro photo tracker, which I still have, and I use it as a lighting kit bag now. So I've used their bags for a long time. But the photo trekker, for example. Oh, and I bought a mini trekker as well, which was really good, which was a smaller rucksack. But it was very much, it was a photography rucksack. And it was designed as such, which is never a bad thing, because you've got lots of padding, a couple of pockets on the front and what have you. The more recent models are a bit more developed. But this one, the Photosport, is just a real, I think, a real step forward, because to look at, it looks essentially like a regular rucksack. Because what they've done, they've realised, the boffins at LowPro, they have realised that there is this need for people that want to go out for a walk, they want to take their camera, but they don't want to take their photography rucksack, which is exactly what I've been trying to find all these years. Now, the way they've got around it, it looks like a regular 25-odd litre rucksack, but what you've got around the side is, now they call it, I'm going to forget what they call it now, my mind's gone blank, but basically it's a padded compartment with like a zip, you can hear there, at the side, and inside there is a pouch, which I have already checked this, it is not big enough for a professional DSLR camera, so those of you that are just thinking about going to spend all your money on a new D4, you will be disappointed, because you won't be able to put it in this bag. D3s, that series, they don't fit either. Something like the D, I don't know, 700, 7000, those cameras which you don't, you know, if you take off the vertical hand grip attachment, that will fit in there with the lens, and there's a space for a flash gun or a box of spare batteries or memory cards, what have you. That's what this is designed to do. It's not designed necessarily to hold big pro cameras. But the one of the good things about this is that it's got that compartment that is, you access it from the side and you don't have to take the bag off your shoulders. You just release one arm, swing it around, and there it is. When you open the main compartment and it's like quick release buckles, inside there you've got the space to put your lunch, a jacket, a flask actually slides down the side on the inside, which is really good, alongside the camera compartment. If you're going to do this, I would say make sure you put it in something like a roll-top dry bag or something, just to be certain that your flask isn't going to leak your tea or whatever all over your cameras. But then there's pockets on the front here, expandable bits around the other side. It looks and feels just like a regular rucksack. You've got things like clips and bits on the straps. It's got a waist strap, which is really good, with a couple of zips there for loose change or memory cards or whatever little bits and bobs you want to put there. But it's a padded back and what have you. But what it also has on the back, in between the back panel which houses the main straps and the main compartment, you've actually got a space for a hydration pack, so something like a Camelback or a Platypus water reservoir thing, which is really good. And it's got a little hole like with the rain flap, so that you can actually put the tube that comes out of there up from the back, and then you just obviously clip it onto the side of your strap, and it's brilliant. So those of you that are really, you know, if you're wanting to be outdoors with your camera but not taking a lot of equipment, you know, often I don't when I'm just out and about, really well worth looking at that. Today, because I wasn't sure what I was going to be doing in the time that I've got to myself, I've actually got my small, it's not a netbook, but it's not a full-size laptop, so somewhere in between, I've actually got that in the place where the hydration pouch would be. So it's, you know, it's a really versatile bag. Only recently started looking at it, so I can't give you an absolute definitive opinion just yet, but, you know, it's looking pretty good. And it's really lightweight material and all the rest of it. I will, of course, give you the full test review article in the fullness of time, just not at the moment. Just trying to think anything else I can tell you about it at the moment. Not really. I mean, it's got sort of like, you've also got, what's this on the bottom here? More sort of quick release buckle straps and stuff, so that you can put, even if you're going camping, you could put your tent, strap your tent to the bottom, assuming you're going fairly lightweight. Really interested to have a play with that, and it's very versatile. That leads me neatly onto the final thing that I want to talk about, and that is focus on imaging. Now, those of you that do not know, and if you're really into your photography, you really should know about focus on imaging. Focus is a yearly event. It's held at the Birmingham NEC, the National Exhibition Centre, kind of middle of the country. And it is the place, if you're in the UK, it is the place to go to check out what's new in the photography world, to get your hands on kits that you've been maybe looking at in the magazines or read reviews and articles about. It's a place to grill the experts, people that are from those companies. If you've got any technical questions or general questions about what kit is best suited for you, that sort of thing. But it also, it's a good place to hear speakers. There are some really, really good guys that, every year are there speaking. You've got the likes of Drew Gardner. You've got Andy Rouse, the wildlife photographer. You've got, the list goes on and on and on. It's just really, really worth it. If you can get up there, please do, because it is well worth going there. It's like a pilgrimage for a lot of people that are into their photography. That is where both professionals and enthusiasts alike, that is where people always head every year. This podcast goes out on the Monday. It starts on the following Sunday, which is the 4th. And it goes on till the following Wednesday, which I believe is the 7th. This is March. If in the meantime, in this following week, if you want to talk to me about it, get in touch with me. All my details are coming up in a minute on Twitter or Facebook, what have you. I will be up at Focus on Imaging, doing some podcasting and just general, bits and pieces that I need to do for the active photographer and for myself as a photographer up there. You will know it's me, either by having seen what I look like, which is kind of obvious, I guess, or you will see that I have theactivephotographer.com written across the back of my shirt or t-shirt. If you see me, come and tap me on the shoulder and say hello, ask me some questions. If you want to go for a coffee, if I've got the time, I would love to sit down with you guys and catch up, answer any questions you might have, get a bit of feedback from you, just talk photography or outdoors or anything like that. It may be that I'm able to run sort of some sort of little competition. I don't know just yet. It's something that's only just occurred to me, and time is running out as to what I would get in place. But let's leave it that. If you see me, let me make a note of your name. And even if I just put all your names in a hat and pull one out at random, I'll see if I can work out some sort of a prize for you. Something like that, maybe. Or just buy you a coffee. That might work. So if you're at Focus on Imaging and you see me walking around, I'll be darting around all over the place. Tap me on the shoulder, say hi, and that'll be really good. So, I think that's just about enough for this episode. I'm going to slowly make my way across the park, avoiding all the dogs and their owners and wayward footballs from football matches and what have you. I'm just going to take in a bit of sunshine. And this next week for me, or the week as, this goes out on the Monday, that this week is going to be, I've got a lot to do. I've got various updates to put on the Active Photographer website. I've got a lot to think about before Focus on Imaging. But then, as I say, I've also got to think about that BMX shoot, which is coming up a week or two after Focus on Imaging. So there is a lot for me to be thinking. If I didn't make it clear, LowPro, they're always at Focus on Imaging. They're really nice people. You should get in there and have a chat with them and ask to see the Photosport 200 AW bag, because I think you might like it. That's the reason I've got one. The guys that I know at LowPro, I got a message from them. They say, look, I think you really like this. I think your listeners are going to really like it. Take a look, have a play with it. Take your cameras with you. If you've got something like a D7000 or 700 or a D300 or whatever it is, if you're a Canon user, it doesn't really matter. Even if you've got a point and shoot camera, take it with you and ask to try it out, see how it fits in. Often, the way I've been using it at the moment, this is as an aside, I have in the pouch that's designed for an SLR and what have you, because I know my SLR doesn't fit in there, I have my little Aquapac waterproof pouch, which has my Canon G9 point and shoot. It has my audio recorder. It also has the Kodak ZX5 little video camera there, and a little tabletop tripod. So that's all contained in that section. Often I then have my D3 in the main compartment, and it actually works pretty well, I have to say. So if you're at Focus on Imaging, go and see all these people, ask some questions, get your hands on everything. If you're a BMX rider, get in touch. If you've never seen the Active Photographer website because you just listen to the podcast through the RSS and you get the articles through the RSS or through iTunes or what have you, please go on there, have a look, give me some feedback, let me know what you think. And hopefully I will catch up with you guys at Focus on Imaging. If I don't, I look forward to your messages and speaking to you on Twitter and Facebook, and just carrying on as we are. Hopefully that's given you a variety of things to think about this week, and as I said, I look forward to hearing from you soon, whether that's in person or via the internet. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer, or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast. CurrentPhotographer.com.